morning.
You're the first.
Okay.
Did you speak to Mama today?
No. Did you?
No, I was really busy. Wasn't able to even try.
Oh, okay. No, I'll give her a text later. I tried to, like the other day, I tried to call her and the call wouldn't go through. So
right.
I don't know if that's something with the phone carrier that she has. Or if that's something with the area she was in.
Well, we'll find out eventually.
Eventually.
Malka?
Yay!
Has joined.
Welcome back.
Well, I'm outside picking up shingles, so I may go mute so I can pick up shingles and listen.
That's fine.
I've got about 500 shingles to pick up, so.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Is that something new?
No, that's from the storm. I done picked up about 1,000 of them already.
Wow.
So this is the remaining.
I hear you.
Did you
so I'm
going to
go mute.
Did you lose your voice?
Ma'am?
Room? Did you lose
I'm sorry,
your
what?
Room?
We lost. We didn't lose the roof. We just lost most of the shingles off of it. So I'm going to go mute.
Okay.
All right.
And so we are studying Parashat Vayera from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Pasuk 254. And we'll start with the Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urshimu Uthilu Uthilu Urshimu. Leyachda v'shem yudhe bavate v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'yino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadenu k'nene aleinu ma'aseh yadenu k'nenehu v'kad kutcha barichu yaved nukin isharamin Ma'akom d'pkedein o'kir enosh. Ya'malka m'shicha. Ya'istalek b'yit yet ka'er. Lal kol b'nei alma. V'kol b'nei alma. Yifluchun v'yiskedun. La'me'ah. Iktiv lefanav uyikru im wigomer malke arshi wigomer. The translation. So when the Holy One, blessed be He, takes revenge on the worshippers of the planets and constellations, it shall be said, I will make men more rare than fine gold. This is King Messiah, who shall rise up over all peoples of the world and be so honored that all of humanity will bow before him and obey him. This is as it is written, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. The kings of Tarshish shall bring presents. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. The city or the province of Tarshish is the location of the prophet Jonah is running towards to escape his task. Actually, in my opinion, Tarshish, with its gematria of 1210, is the completion of Nineveh, which is gematria 121. And hopefully this will help your understanding of this pasuk. I've added a commentary by a student of mine that's been in and out of the deep Zohar classes over the years. It's a rather lengthy commentary, but I think it's worth noting. This verse is hinting and identifying the true rightful king Messiah. Note the word used is king. This is Hashem. He is the king of all, to Israel his covenant children, and the nations of the world. The Israel nation is solely ruled by Hashem because of the covenant pact made at Mount Sinai that is still active and enforced today in our generation. But it has been in a concealed state of awareness, consciously, that Hashem is ruling here. Since Hashem has been in an unrevealed state before his own covenant, children. Since the second exile began, which was actually the fourth exile, began and including the returning of his Israel covenant children to the land of Israel 72 years ago when World War II ended. This passage, or Pasuk 254, is describing the major events that will be taking place as the nearness of this revealing will unfold. It begins with the purging, the cleansing process, unfolding that will be taking place first in the land of Israel. It is removing the practicing idolatry and worshiping the astrology of the planets and constellations. When this idolatry worship is removed from the land of Israel and from the thinking of the Jewish people as a whole, the third temple, when built and dedicated, then the spiritual elevation will unfold for the Israel's children first. Hashem will be revealed as their king openly. The concealed state will be removed for this revealing. The last part of the passage is describing that when the true king of Israel is revealed, the nations who have been ruling over Israel will be reversing their roles and paying tribute gifts to Israel and honoring Hashem. These are the insights gleaned from this Zohar study. Just an added note here. I also understand that the religious Torah halakhic rabbis of Israel are looking for this feat to be fulfilled by the rightful person who will be known as the Messiah. Serving as the political ruler and spiritual leader of the land of Israel, it has been spoken that there will be two Messiahs, not one, from the Torah halakhic rabbis. I am supposing that one of the Messiahs will be on the political, civil front in governing the people of Israel, and the other Messiah will be the spiritual leader. Anciently, Israel ruling was governed by the political front, by the reigning king in office, anointed and assigned from the spiritual leader, appointed by Hashem, who directed the spiritual leader in charge to anoint the person who would be officiating as the king's ruling. This kingship process began during Prophet Samuel's time. This change is when the prophet era ended, with Samuel directing and instructing both reigns of King Saul and King David until the prophet Samuel's death. Both the assigned kings of Israel and the prophet worked as a team with Hashem, directing both of them during their individual roles assigned. One is a political civil servant protecting the people and the land from invaders and the prophet was the spiritual Torah teacher. Hashem worked through the prophet, who then instructed the king. That was the order. The spiritual took lead first, directing the king. Meaning Israel may be returning to the theocracy, governing body once again, with Hashem ruling upon his covenant children, Israel children, in a revealed state. When the third temple is built and dedicated, the unfolding theocracy, governing union, will be unfolding spiritually, with Hashem leading in both areas. I am assuming this is what will be taking place, first for the people of Israel, who are unaware as the unfolding events are happening at this very moment. Hashem is the one in charge. He is the King Mashiach, or the King of the Messiah, referring to this Zohar passage. Hashem is the one who anoints his servants for these assigned roles. Doesn't the word Messiah mean the anointed one? Anyway, I am assuming when the third temple is dedicated, once it is built, this truth for the covenant Israelite people as a nation will know who is in charge. Israel enters into its collective spiritual work, united with their king, Hashem, once again. This renewing state is unfolding as I am writing. Israel today is in conflict in identifying its ruling party's leadership. At this moment, they are having potentially a fourth vote on whom will be the next ruling head. The secular front is focused politically, and the Torah halakhic rabbis focus on spirituality. These two opposing parties are not united and are in conflict with their own ideologies that separate them, not uniting them. I am assuming here that when the third temple is dedicated to Hashem, then the conflicts in Israel will cease because the true King of Israel, Hashem's presence, will be revealed in recognition to his covenant Israel children. This spiritual breach will be restored, healed, and activated. When the Israelite children anciently decided to have a man king rule over them, Hashem complied to their wishes and then went into hiding, or referred to an unrevealed state. Today it is taught that Hashem's existence is in an unrevealed state before his covenant Israel nation, and including the world. The unfolding events leading to the Israelite children fully into their returning spiritual roles begins in an elevated capacity. Once the third temple is dedicated, Hashem will be reigning openly, not concealed. When this takes place, the entire world will witness this unfolding reality. Most likely in our time, on or before the year 6000. In 2 weeks, we enter the Hebrew calendar year of 5781. But we only have 219 years left. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, that was very informative. And knowing that things are going on in Israel right now, and they don't realize it, do you think that the COVID virus is part of that?
Do I think the virus is part of that, the COVID? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hashem is responsible. Let me rephrase that. Everything that happens in the world is approved by Hashem. The way that the spiritual system works on an individual level, every night when you go to sleep, you're going to a judgment. But it's not a judgment. It's not a court like we have in the physical world. You're either guilty or innocent. The spiritual court is designed to present incidents in a person's life the next day or the next week or the next year. Those incidents that come into a person's life are designed by the spiritual court. And the purpose of those incidents is to motivate the change in a person so that they will achieve their tikkun. So it's always giving a person free will. How will you react to this circumstance that is being presented to you? But that applies on the individual level, but it also applies on the national level. What is the role of the Jewish nation that we are not achieving? And what is the role that we are achieving? The overall understanding, the Jewish nation's role is to achieve balance between the 70 nations. The 70 nations, there are some nations that you would describe as sharing nations, but they don't really share, they give. They have an agenda attached to their gift. And then you have the receiving nations. Maybe the way of understanding that is there's the wealthy Western world and the developing world. The developing world is the receiving nations. The developed world is the sharing nations. But it's sharing with an agenda to help improve its wealth. But it's the role of the Jewish nation is to balance between the two. Is Israel doing that? Well, Israel is not united. The modern state of Israel is in conflict between the group of people that want a Torah state so that everything is done based on the Torah values, and the secular state where people are saying, we want to be a nation just like the other nations. So we were a developing nation. We didn't have a great economy. We always needed the support of the Western world. And Israel is in the process economically of becoming part of that developed world. So that's what Bracha, who is the commentator here, was trying to express in language that she understood.
Right.
But that doesn't really, getting back to what the Zohar was saying, the Zohar is saying there's going to be this process. And the process is going to be, if I could get back to it and read it, that Hashem is going to take revenge against the worshipers of the planets and constellations. Well, what is the idea of worshiping the planets and the constellations? It's not astrology, because Hebrew astrology is not idol worship. But worshiping planets and constellations is idol worshiping. There are people in the world who are worshiping idols, but it's no longer just stars and planets, constellations. It can be considered the Hollywood stars. It can be considered the sports athletes that people look to for their opinions. What's going right. on in the world? What should they do? Well, those people are no more informed than any other person. You're only as informed as you make the effort to learn. You're only as informed as you make the effort to perceive truth through the illusion. The study of the Zohar, the study of Kabbalah, helps you see the truth through the veil of the illusion. But a basketball star or a Hollywood star or a starlet, what they are just expressing their opinion, and their opinion is no more greater than anybody else's opinion. And so there's the verse is saying there's going to be revenge. Hashem is going to take the revenge because they are acting, they're accepting the adulation of their fans. And so they're accepting being a god, being an idol. And so that's on an individual level, that's going to be a problem. And there's going to be negative effects in their life because of that. And we see that, have always seen that in the last 100 years, 150 years. Whenever someone was thought of as being unique and special, they always ended up with crashing. They always ended up with legal problems. They always ended up with some aspect where their veneration gets lost. The process is being described in this as there's going to be this comeuppance to the idols. It's going to be comeuppance to the people who participate in the idol worship. And eventually, there will be one human being who we call Mashiach, who will be recognized by everyone in the world. But then you have this code word in this, from Psalm 72, the kings of Tarshish. Well, we know Tarshish is a code word for Spain in the Bible. Because Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, which is essentially Damascus in our world. But he didn't want to go to Damascus, so he went in the other direction. So he took a boat to go to Tarshish, which was the furthest part of the world, the then known world, which essentially was the end of the Mediterranean Sea. So the word, the phrase, kings of Tarshish is the code word. The kings of Europe. The kings of the Western world. There are different opinions as to which, you know, how extensive the kings of Tarshish are. Are they the governments that support idol worship through free will? A lot of different thoughts that can be addressed as we go deep into this Zohar. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say after I've finished expressing myself?
That's a lot to think about.
It is. And that's what we have to have the time to do. That's what the COVID virus is pushing us towards. Having all this time to reflect. And when are we doing it right now is in the month of Elul, when we're reflecting on the mistakes we made this past year. And how does this information that I've just expressed and that the Zohar has expressed, how does that impact our teshuva, our contemplation of the mistakes that we make? Malka, I know you're not able, you may not be able to unmute your phone anymore by picking up the jingles. But if you can, we're running out of time. So if you'd like to say something, now's the time. And if not, it's okay. We're just glad that you were joining us today. Shalom Gadol to everyone. We will have a late class, which is 7 p.m. West Coast time, where we will be connecting to the Ari's writings for the Parasha of Nitzavim. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.